This is KUT.
KUT, Austin.
Stop.
Liberty Lunch. It's a name that, for Austinites of a certain age, conjures cherished memories. As KUT's Jimmy Moss reports, it's why a proposal to put that name on another venue is ruffling some feathers.
What's in a name? Well, this month, a lot. At least for those in Austin's vibrant restaurant, live music, and condiment scenes. Earlier this month, Stubbs Restaurants settled with McCormick & Company so that McCormick will be the only company to use the name Stubbs. So now the Maryland Spice Company that owns the Austin Sauce Company is no longer allowing the Austin Barbecue Spot and Music Venue to use the nickname of the man that opened the restaurant. Perhaps anticipating that this might happen, Stubbs, the restaurant, filed paperwork to claim the name Liberty Lunch, sending a collective record skip that could be heard all the way to Antone's, the record store, not the club, which incidentally are owned by two different companies. Stubbs registering the name Liberty Lunch led to several questions like, can they do that? And will the new brand stick?
You know, a brand is like a handshake. It's a promise. And, you know, it's a promise that you're going to deliver on a certain product or service or experience. And these days, what a lot of consumers really want is an authentic brand experience.
Mitch Baranowski is a creative director and branding expert based in New York. So what do you need for an authentic brand experience?
You need heritage, you need sincerity, and you need quality.
Stubbs is losing some of that heritage as a result of the lawsuit, its namesake.
C.B. Stubblefield loved music. His original West Texas restaurant was frequented by so many great Texas musicians from Joe Ely, Tom T. Hall, many others.
You know, me and Billy the Kid never got along.
It was in Joe Ely's house where Stubblefield began to bottle his sauce for sale. That's according to Stubbs' website, the sauce company, not the restaurant.
And they used to jam at his place all the time, and that continued when he moved it to Austin. So the live music component, that part of the brand heritage, will be called up when they move over to the new name, Liberty Lunch.
And if that name doesn't ring a bell, here's a primer for those of you too young or too new to Austin. Liberty Lunch was one of those storied live music venues in town. It really hit its stride in the 1980s and 90s, booking a who's who of music. Located in the middle of what are now high-rises and boutiques, Liberty Lunch thrived without any aesthetics.
I think that was the beauty of the place. I mean, it was a dive, a complete dive. It had half a roof on, but they had so many big names come through before they got big.
Susan Castle from our sister music station, KUTX.
I got here in April of 1990. I think I went there 2 to 3 times a week.
Great music. I mean, that's what it was known for, right?
Before Baranowski headed off to New York, he studied here at UT.
So you'd go see Michael Johnston and the Killer Bees, or Twang Twang Shaka Boom, or the Reavers.
The Reavers were regulars at Liberty Lunch. You may know them by the name Zeitgeist, which they had to change after a lawsuit.
A lot of times back in those college days, we couldn't quite afford the cover charge, so we might sit out on the curb eating our beans and rice from La Zona Rosa. But as I started working more and more around town, I had the means to pay the hefty $5 to $6 cover. Great sweaty rocket nights at the Liberty Lunch.
And you can see it right there. I mean, you could go right up to the stage and get just washed over the sound of the funky meters right there.
It was one of those places that many who were in Austin at the time fondly remember. It closed in 1999 to make way for the new City Hall and two office buildings. It had a weird name that its last owners were not all that fond of, according to the Austin Chronicle, which leads you to wonder how it even got that name.
Yeah, get up, yeah, don't get down.
And if you don't know what the original Liberty Lunch was, here's a primer for those of you too young or too new. The club's original owners, Shannon Sedwick and Michael Shelton, bought the lease way back in 1975 from a guy who was running an open-air bar.
Pickled eggs on the counter with one with a bite taken out of it and put back in. It was just, you know, pretty much a dive.
That's Shannon Sedwick. Yeah, how much was the one with the bite out? How much would that egg go for?
We didn't ask. We were just, and it was very funky, very, very funky.
Sedgwick and Shelton have had a hand in the development of a number of Austin night spots, most famously Esther's Follies. They still own that one and perform in its shows. Back in 75, they brought music to Liberty Lunch, booking local bands like Beto y Los Fairlanes and The Lotions.
All the outside was still pretty much just the way it had been from the early days when it was a lumber yard.
Wait, lumber yard? So if you don't know what the original Liberty Lunch was, here's a primer for those of you too young or too new. At one time, Austin's Warehouse District was more than inexpensive real estate to start music clubs. The warehouses were used to house wares. Calcasieu Lumber was one of, if not the biggest building suppliers in Austin. If you own an old home in town, there's a reasonable chance that there are Calcasieu beams somewhere in the structure. Having to supply lumber and hardware took up a lot of land downtown.
We had a window department, an appliance store, an architectural mill plant, the main office. These were all in different buildings down there in the second, third street area. But our main office was on 2nd Street.
That's Nick Morris, the former president of Calcasieu. His grandfather, Bill Drake, started the business. The company owned much of the land around Liberty Lunch, but not the actual site.
I ate there all the time, but no, that was not ours. That was a restaurant, and I had plenty of hamburgers there at Liberty Lunch.
Now we're getting to the bottom of it.
I don't remember how it got its name. I know that a blind man owned it. And if you went in there often, he could detect your voice or your footsteps or whatever. But, I mean, he'd call you by name. I don't know how it got started, but it there forever.
Shannon Sedgwick shed some light.
The School for the Blind had that space, and that was when it was, they had named it Liberty Lunch and then painted over that part of the building, you know, so that when we uncovered the paint on the front of the building, that name came out. We just discovered it by a happy accident, and that's why we named it Liberty Lunch.
But that's where the origin story ends in a mystery. The Texas School for the Blind and Visually Impaired doesn't have any record of a program on 2nd Street. The school says official records of extracurricular programs only go back so far. Back then, there was a federal program for the blind to be employed specifically in the operation of vending facilities, which included cafeterias, snack bars, and later vending machines. Nothing definitive there, and mainly speculation, but it is possible that the burger stand was run by an individual in the program and could have had a hand in establishing the name. And if you don't know what Liberty Lunch will be, you're not alone.
You know, it just seems to me you shouldn't take somebody's built-up brand and utilize it again. Like, I wouldn't like it if somebody tried to call something Armadillo World Headquarters either. You know, just those things are special, and they should be special.
And that's why I'm a little bummed that Stubbs may get the name Liberty Lunch, because, you know, I want Liberty Lunch to be that memory. You know,
will it be the same Liberty Lunch? No, it won't. But
here's Mitch Baranowski again.
But it's in the same arena, and hopefully over time, the folks behind the new Liberty Lunch will create a similarly warm and inviting experience that could be part of the Austin culture for years to come.
And this incarnation of Liberty Lunch will have barbecue and probably a different sauce.
Good night, thanks for coming.
Jimmy Moss, KUT News.